Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality. What's a podcast about? Just about everything. In fact, we look at life, the very fabric of our being, through the lenses of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Polished up in a new manner. We call that polish Armadoxy. So we invite you to kick back right now as we take that look. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at Apostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic universe, and of course is part of the expanding vision of the Inishu's Ministries. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. You like that, huh? I thought you'd like that. Yes, kicking back. You like that expression about kicking back for a while. I know. Okay, yeah. Okay, you're right. 40 days, 40 nights. In the old days, they'd celebrate for that long of a time. You've got these two last next steps. We're talking to our producer over here, Susie, who is enjoying the aftermath of a birthday celebration. She celebrated her birthday in between two next steps. That's pretty... That's a feat in itself, right? No pun intended. I'm sorry about that. Now I'm gonna really take it to the next level by wishing you Arev Shadorer, Susie Sunshine, wishing you a lot of sunshine in your life. Hey, listen, to the rest of you who are listening in, we have a lot of fun over here because these next steps, they represent, well, a lot of love, a lot of passion for something that we care about, and that's Armenian Orthodoxy, really bringing together the faith in a unique manner. And we're so glad that you're on board, and whether this is your first step with us, whether you've been taking some steps with us, we hope that this next few minutes that we share together will offer you much food for thought, a lot of stuff to really sift through this week. I've got to tell you, first of all, thank you. Thank you. This last week has been so spiritually gratifying. The number of email responses. We had record number of downloads over this past week of our podcast. It was distributed on CD. We've been hearing from people throughout the world. Got to tell you, every one of your emails is encouraging. It just gets us to really believe that this is so necessary right now. And the time is right now. That too. I've got to tell you that, because you always think about what are we doing, especially, you know, in a medium like this, where you're sitting across from a microphone and you're talking and you're hoping. And that's a big leap of faith, big leap of hope. You're hoping that there's somebody on the other side listening. And when you get these numbers, the number of downloads, when you get the number of emails this past week, you can't believe how encouraging it is. It tells us that we're not alone in this struggle. It tells us, yes, God is above, and we always believe that. But as humans, we want to know that there are people that are sharing that passion, that's striving to make the church real in the lives of people, that are really working for community and are not so wound up about their own interests, but really want to do something for others. And I've been encouraged this whole week, because last week we talked about the situation in Darfur and really giving a response. I mean, think about it for a moment, folks. I mean, you're talking about a genocide taking place in Darfur, and we have this ability, this opportunity to get the word out and get them to stop. Imagine that. Not just commemorating a genocide, but actually stopping one. I mean, how many people get that opportunity to really not only save a life, two lives, but really stop a genocide? And it's in our hands. I mean, you want to talk about doing something great in life? Here it is. It's unfolding right in front of our eyes. Do you know that between 1915 and 1923, during the time of the Armenian Genocide, the first genocide in modern history, there were more articles in the New York Times written about that genocide than there have been written about the genocide taking place in Darfur. I want you to think about that for a moment, because New York Times in 1915 was probably the predominant source of information and news, right? And so during those 7 years, you have New York Times sending out information. And what did the world do? Really, what the three monkeys did, right? Close their ears, close their eyes, and close their mouth. And so that's why just 15 years later, when Hitler was going to move into Poland, he says, I could get away with it. Because who, after all, today speaks of the annihilation of the Armenians? Very clear and simple. Hey, if nobody's going to remember the Armenians with all that press, then I'll get away with the Holocaust. And of course, the next thing happened. After that, we had Cambodia, you had Rwanda, you had Bosnia, countless other, you had Ethiopia. Countless wars, genocides taking place on small levels, things that we don't even hear about. And who's going to react to them? Well, yes, you can say politically people should rise up. But as children of Christ, we have this obligation, and even more than that obligation, we have this responsibility to react wherever there is injustice in the world. I mean, is it enough for us to just say that we are Christian? Of course not. Christ, in fact, he mocks that. He mimics that. He says people are going to come up to me and say that, hey, we recognize you. We called you Lord, Lord, Lord. And he says, I'm going to say, get away from me. I do not know you, because I was hungry. You didn't come and feed me. I was in those genocide camps and you didn't come to visit me. I was being killed by the millions and you didn't come to my aid. And people are going to say, when did we see you in the middle of genocide? Because if we did, Jesus, we would certainly be there. When did we see you hungry? Because, hey, if we saw you hungry, definitely we would have reached into our pocket and made a donation and got you some food. And Jesus says, when you did it to the least of my brothers. And who are those least of my brothers? Those Darfuris, those Armenians. When you did it to those people, you did it to me. And so the challenge is really in front of us, isn't it? As Christians, to take on that responsibility of being called to Christianity, to profess Christianity, not by our words, but by our works. It's a big one. Not too many people like to hear that, because it's a little bit more difficult, isn't it? It's easier to just get out and start talking about it. It's a little more difficult to push yourself to do it. But that's where we start off from. That's the premise of our work. But once you realize that, what happens is that you have to take the next step, right? That's why we call this the next step. Because I think as Christians, as any mature individual in faith, you start analyzing, you start looking at, well, what's the sense of this? Is it just to get together and worship? Is it just to get together and hold hands and feel good that we're Christian? I mean, we've basically, in the ethnic churches, whether it's Armenian, Greek, Russian, any of them that aren't even concerned about social justice, for instance, it's become basically a party, a way of defining yourself, a way of identity. Definitely. Yeah, it's important. You want that identity. But that identity has to mean something more than just a name, doesn't it? And so that's what the next step is. It's after the analysis. After you realize there's something missing, you realize that you need to take the next step. You need to walk in the shoes of your brothers and sisters. And in walking in the shoes of your brothers and sisters, you are walking with God in the shoes of Christ, in the shoes of humanity. That's where we're going today. We're going to be talking about a lot of these ideas in the coming few minutes. Of course, today we've got a special segment. You're going to like this. We've got a word. That's all. That's all I'm going to tell you right now. I have to hold off. I'll fill you in a few minutes about that. We've got Ani with her bubbles, some great bubbles today. She's going to be giving you some quotes. And of course, we've got all the usual stuff you've come to expect from The Next Step. But for right now, we start off every show with a song of the day. I'm picking a Sayat Nova song, and with good reason. I will tell you right after. Just enjoy this right now. This is world-famous singer Nunez singing Sayat Nova.
برسید خالم تات خومه ما زیرت آپانگی سانون برسید خالم تات خومه ما زیرت آپانگی سانون تات فیلیس بار میر بار تیبز بلولی هید هنگی سانون اپره کد بوز خومن شرات برو شد ما هنگی سانون اپره کد بوز خومن شرات برو شد ما هنگی سانون
Want to believe that a priest wrote that song? Yep. Believe it or not, yes, a priest wrote that song. That's what I'm telling you. When you talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, you shouldn't be talking about this old world idea of people that are just away from life. You're talking about people that are experiencing life. And that's why I'm calling it Armedoxy, because Armenian Orthodoxy, Armenian Church, all of these church ideas have just gotten so much negative press as basically being, want me to say it, anti-life. Yes, anti-life. And really, the essence of Christianity, what Christ came to spread was, well, a pro-life. Not in the political sense. He's talking about pro-life. In other words, I'm living and I'm living it abundantly. I came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly, he says in the Gospel of John. Well, what does that mean? That abundance we should see in all aspects of our lives. So that when you're playing, you should be playing. So that when you're crying, you should feel why you're crying and not just a superficial cry. So that when you're yelling, it comes out from the depths of your heart. So that when you're smiling, it is such a sincere smile that it fills up and it radiates throughout the whole house, the whole place that you're at. Armenian Orthodoxy, Armedoxy. Now, that song that you just heard was from Sayat Nova, and the performer was Nune. Her name is Nune. She's an incredible Yesayan. She incredible singer. And you, Sayat Nova, by the way, obviously, if he's a priest, he's a man. Yes, that's another topic we'll talk about one day. But that song is called Badgetki Dalam of Kashads. And one of my favorites out of the Sayat Nova repertoire. But why did I pick on Sayat Nova? Well, as you know, this coming Monday happens to be, in most of the world, St. Valentine's Day. Yes, the patron saint of love. We love that, don't we? Of course we do. Unless you're in a group, a very small group, called Armenian Orthodox Christians who happen to have celebrated Christmas on January 6th. Because you see, if you add 40 days to Christmas, December 25th, you end up with Groundhog's Day or Candlemas, the midwinter feast. You add 40 days to January 6th, you end up with Valentine's Day. And it's not Valentine's Day on that day. Instead, it is the day called Diarant Araç. And Diarant Araç is the presentation of the Lord. I talked briefly about this in last week's podcast, only to introduce the idea. I want to go into a little bit more detail, because one of the traditions that we have with Diarant Araç is the lighting of the bonfire. And you may have seen this, and if we can get this up, I'm going to try to work with Susie on maybe putting this together. I got to admit that our work on the Darfur project has been all-consuming lately, but I really need to get this tape up there, because when I was in Armenia, I'd say 40 years ago, 30 years ago, one of the most impressionable days throughout my studying was when they celebrated Diarant Araç. I didn't understand it. All I knew is that there was bonfires all throughout the city, and people were jumping over these bonfires. Yes, do not try this at home. Okay. Warning given, do not try this at home. But people were jumping over these bonfires. And then it was maybe... What was it? A couple of years ago, 2009, I happened to be in Armenia in February, right around this time of year. And I was there for the Feast of the Presentation, or Diarant Araç. And there, lo and behold, right in the courtyard of Holy Etchmiadzin, the center of Armenian Christianity, in the courtyard, there is a giant bonfire on this feast day. And who's lighting the bonfire? It's the Catholicos of all Armenians, hooded, ready to go in his robes, along with other bishops, along with many of the priests of the Brotherhood, and hundreds of people gathered around there. And I've got to tell you, you know, you look at this and it's beautiful, first of all, because you see a community coming together and celebrating, having some fun. But at the same time, what else do you see? You see, well, the remnants of the heathen days, of days when fire was the center of their life. Why? Because it heated people, it was a source of light, it was still a mystery, it was uncontained, and definitely it had a ritualistic value in the old times. But you would think that with Christianity, you'd be done with many of those heathen rituals, and there you see people marching around, dancing around a campfire, a big bonfire. And so, sure, your head starts spinning and you go like, hey, what's going on? Weren't we done with fire worship many years ago? Well, yeah, you could say that. But don't forget that many of the traditions that we have in the Christian church were left over from heathen days. I mean, why did Constantine the Great change the date of Christmas from January 6th to December 25th? He changed it because there was the Feast of Saturnalia. People, Christians, needed to focus, not the birth of the sun, in other words, the winter solstice, the S-U-N sun, but the birth of the sun, S-O-N sun. And so let's change it. And so the winter solstice now became Christmas. And same thing with this feast. Well, what is this feast? It's midwinter. It's right in the middle of winter. What does Punxsutawney Phil do? He comes out of the hole. He looks at his shadow. Does he see it or he doesn't? And it gives a prediction for the rest of winter, which is six more weeks. And it is with that hope that winter will be less dramatic, let's say. You'll have a less of a winter, that if he doesn't see his shadow like this year, that spring is around the corner. It's coming real quickly. Well, in the same way, this feast in Armenia around the bonfire was the renewal feast. It was people getting together and celebrating. Hey, we made it through the worst part of winter, and now spring is around the corner, and it's a time for renewal. It's a time for couples to get together and march around the campfire and renew the heat that they have towards each other, the love that they have towards each other, that element of heat, that element of light. And yes, there is fertility in there, there is renewal, there is life in there. It's all there. It's a nice package. And so when the Christian church figured out that 40 days after the birth of Christ, there is the celebration that they could line up with this feast of the bonfire, well, they usurped it. They took it. They took it over. And so today, you've got the meeting of the heathen world with the Christian world coming together in this feast called Yaron Tarach. Now, I'm getting there. Yes, I'm getting there. I know you're waiting for the Sayat Nova little click in there. Well, it's coming up. Okay, so you're going around this big giant bonfire. Well, what are you supposed to be thinking? Well, in the Bible, 40 days after Christmas, and if you calculate from January 6th, you get right to February 14th. 40 days after Christmas, Mary went into the temple for the rite of purification. It was right for her. The purification, 40 days after childbirth. And she brought her son to offer him to the temple. And there was a man there named Simeon. You could read this in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. There was a man named Simeon who saw Jesus and thanked God because he was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not taste death. He would not die until he saw the Savior of the world. And so he thanked God for this opportunity with his eyes to see the salvation, to see the Savior of the world. And Mary, of course, it says, kept all of these things close to her heart. Well, what does that tell us? It tells us that we have an opportunity to see that salvation. 40 days after Christmas, it's the reminder that as Christ went into the temple, he needs to come where? Into our temples. And what does he do once he enters into our temples, into our lives? He needs to clean it out. He needs to come into that temple and purify it. He needs to come into that temple and really burn it away. Do you remember John the Baptist said, "I baptize you with water." What did he say? Do you remember that? What did he say? "The one who is coming after me will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit." Well, here it is, the baptism of fire. The baptism that cleans away, that removes all the residue, that purifies. And so looking at that bonfire, you have that opportunity to say that as that bonfire is purifying, is cleaning away the remnants of winter, the coldness in my heart now needs to be softened up. I need to find that warmth that comes only from Christ. And once Christ puts that warmth into my life, what happens next is I start moving forward. I start seeing that with that warmth in my life, with that love in my heart, I can conquer the coldest of colds. I can overcome the greatest of difficulties because all they are is frozen in time. And my heat, the heat of God's love inside of me, is one that can burn it away, that could melt it and burn it away. Now, yeah, you got to be romantic with this. You've got to be creative with this. Otherwise, you can look at it and you can say, hey, what is it? But the true Christian looks at these as opportunities. In fact, that's what St. Gregory the Illuminator did when he came into Armenia, the first Armenian Orthodox institution became the Armenian Church. His first order of business was to take these heathen practices and to basically Christianify them. That's a good word, huh? Make them into Christian feasts. Well, you could look at it anthropologically. You could say, okay, yeah, he destroyed a culture. But in the same way, what was he doing? He was using the resources that were given to him. Think of it that way. Rather than destroying, he was taking those resources. There's a bonfire. People are marching around the bonfire. Well, what do you want them to do? Keep thinking that that bonfire is going to signal a God up in heaven that the spring has to come? Or maybe make that bonfire into the reality that their spring is all around them. Their spring is in their lives. Their spring is that ability to reach out to other people with love. And so the first step to that love is to melt away their hearts that are frozen, to melt away the freezing atmospheres that exist between brother and sister, between brother and brother, between parent and child, and realize that that love can conquer all. Yeah, you got to do that. You got to push yourself to be able to see the beauty of Christ in everything, including some of these practices, which may seem bizarre, which may seem heathenistic, which may seem outdated, but they are merely opportunities, rituals, to focus us into the true path, the only true path, which Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we find out, who is that I am? He is love. Love is the way. Love is the truth. And love is the life. You want to find it? Melt it away. Melt away everything, every obstacle that prevents you from living that life of love. Now we come to Syed Nova. How does he fit in to all of this? Well, February 14th, yes, I would like to say that the world celebrates the Arantarash presentation, but we know that Groundhog's Day is the big one. Yes, okay. February 2nd is the presentation. And the rest of the world celebrates a saint, Saint Valentine's, which, like it or not, is not popular because of church, because of his religious affiliation, because of his sainthood or his saintliness. It's popular because, well, there's a lot of money in selling flowers, selling cards, and selling candy. I know. Did I just destroy it all for you? I know, you were just hopeless romantics, thinking that, yes, the world was bent on celebrating the feast of a saint. I'd like to believe that too, but you know the reality. I mean, let's think about it. Why was the Super Bowl what it was? It was for those commercials. Yes, of course. We all wanted to see the teams play off against each other, but those commercials made it possible, right? Think about it for a moment. It's no different. We'd all like to talk about Saint Valentine as the saint, as the patron saint of love or lovers. But what makes it possible is the candies. And the flowers, and all of the rituals that go with St. Valentine's Day. It makes it possible for us to talk about these concepts with, let's say, non-Christians. Now, for us in the Armenian Orthodox tradition, we don't have this St. Valentine. But what I'm proposing to you is that there is somebody who is in equal footing with this person. His name happens to be Syed Nova. Yeah, you could have guessed that already, right? Syed Nova was a priest. He is known best for his musical works, and he's not only among the Armenians. Actually, interestingly enough, there are many traditions which claim Syed Nova. Armenian, of course, Azerbaijan, Persian, Georgians. He was born, his baptismal name, or he was born Harutyun Sayatian. And the first name Harutyun actually means resurrection. Yeah, I know. We don't... You don't find too many people named Resurrection. But in Armenian, yes, they do name their children Resurrection. Harutyun. Harutyun Sayatian. And he was born in the 18th century, 1712, if I remember right. And he lived throughout that century. He died at the end of the 18th century, 1795. And he died as a martyr. Okay, and there's one of the qualifications for sainthood. Yes, I'm nominating him. Now, interestingly enough, he was really, to me, the patron saint of Armodoxy for love. Because he fell in love. He was, first of all, a musician, a brilliant musician who played on what we would call a lap violin. It was called the kemanche, and still very popular in Armenian folk music. The kemanche, and he played an assortment of instruments, but that was his primary instrument. And he would play in the king's courtyard, and he made the grave mistake of falling in love. Oh, yes. Here we go again. Now, don't blame me for that warning. That warning came from Ken. That was all his doing. That one wasn't mine. We'll talk about that some other day. But he made the grave mistake of falling in love with the king's daughter. And of course, the king wouldn't have any part of him. He was just basically a peasant. He was a commoner. He was a troubadour. He would go around playing music. He was definitely not of royal stock. And so he was heartbroken. Sayat-Nova was heartbroken. He went on life writing about his love, writing about these beautiful love songs, and remembering the love of his life. He ended up marrying another woman in the 1750s. I guess, what would that make him? About 40 years old. And he entered a monastery. He was ordained Father Stephanos. He fathered 4 children, and he was martyred, as I said, in 1795 in Tiflis. And actually, I've had the honor of being at his grave to see the site where he was martyred, to see where he was interned. And I say all this because, you know, we have these beautiful stories within Armenian Orthodoxy. Unfortunately, we don't have the dreamers. We don't have the people that are willing to say that, hey, this is an example of faith. This is an example of love. Yes, he was a musician, but unfortunately, much like the king, we have our prejudices against musicians, about commoners, and we think of saints with these halos rather than thinking of saints as people who rose to the occasion, who were able to say that I will not compromise my love. I will not compromise what I believe, the principles in my heart, and were able to stand up for what they believed. Secondly, I think that he needs to be canonized as a saint because he was a priest. Because so many times people think that the priesthood is something that's left outside of reality. And here was somebody who really enjoyed all that life had to give art-wise. He was a lover of the arts, certainly by music. Much like Gomidas Vartabed, who many times people, it's really interesting because I even know this very famous atheist. He makes the rounds throughout Glendale, believe it or not, and now he's on the internet broadcasting from Armenia. He's a big atheist, but one number one fan of Gomidas Vartabed. Well, they failed to realize that word Vartabed means he was a priest. He was somebody who took a vow to Jesus Christ. And Saint Stephanos, I've already canonized him, Father Stephanos Harutyun Sayatian became Father Stephanos, who is known to us as Sayat-Nova, is a person who took a vow to love. A vow to Jesus Christ. And to me, these are the people that we need to honor with their music, by playing their music, by becoming familiar with their music, by enjoying what they have to offer. And so, there's my vote. I vote for Sayat-Nova. I ask that he be canonized. And we got to start a movement. I think it's time. It's time. Unfortunately, the Armenian Church hasn't canonized in several centuries any saints. And there's a whole backlog, including Gomidas Vartabed, including many people who have really stepped up to the occasion. Sayat-Nova is my nominee. And on this Valentine's Day, I offer him as a story, as an inspiration for all of us to love the things that we do, to love the people that we love, and especially to love all that God has put into our hearts and appreciate that blessing that comes from God. Well, here's my blessing, all of our blessing. This is Ani with today's bubbles. Actually, some bubbles she blew a few weeks ago. Quotes from the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Presented for today, written by Stephanie McWilliams, and of course, blown for us today as part of our spiritual bubbles by Ani. Enjoy, back in a few minutes.
Take time today to reflect on the following 9 quotes of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Allow his vast wisdom to resonate in your own life so that you may experience more fullness, richness, and juiciness in the year to come. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Positive situations can only spring from optimism. Peace will never be established through war, and inner peace will never be created through negative self-talk. So many of us are kind to others, yet are cruel dictators internally. Practice speaking gently to yourself this week, like you would do to a sweet, innocent child. Be compassionate and understanding. Be encouraging, excited, and joyful about all that you dream. It is only through a loving approach that the true enjoyment and richness of life can be embraced. Dr. King said, "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase." Action is the missing step in so many people's journeys. Most of us know what we should be doing, yet do not live in alignment with those goals. Stepping into integrity and moving forward energetically by taking action, any action, is vital. Without movement, there is stagnancy. Nothing can change when standing still. So take a leap. Make a decision about something small this week that you've been putting off. Once you take those first brave steps, life has a beautiful way of illuminating the road just ahead. With each step forward, the path will be revealed and your journey will unfold. Dr. King said, "Means we use must be as pure as the ends we seek." So often we get sidetracked in this country and only hold end results of our endeavors in a high regard. But quite often, I meet clients that are very outwardly successful and financially abundant, yet spiritually bankrupt. Many people are so focused on the prize that they'll do anything to get there, forgetting to stop along the way to play, reflect, be grateful, and smell the roses. If we lived in a world where the only thing of importance was, in fact, your intention, your awareness, your kindness, your faith, how would you stack up? What grade would you give in the school of life? Another quote tells us, "It's the quality, not the longevity of one's life, that is what's important." We tend to make choices about our lives in terms of physical well-being over spiritual well-being. We want to live long lives, and we have doctors and hospitals and drug companies to support those goals. But what if we were just as tenacious about our own joy and laughter? What if we fought to have meaning and love? What if we would do anything to feel passion, pleasure, playfulness, each and every day? The desire for longevity is based on fear. The other is based on love. In what ways can you begin to live a long and loving life? Bringing in the smallest twinkling lightness into your day will go a lot further for your health and longevity than another trip to the doctor. Dr. King says, "An individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity." When clients come to me frustrated or depressed, it's usually because they have shifted their perspective inward, wallowing in the details of their own life. I've been there many times myself, as the human brain has a sneaky way of putting each of us at the center of our own little universe. And while that seems like it would be a great thing, it can also wreak havoc. When we shift our focus onto others, we not only get to experience helping a fellow human being, but we also realize that we're not alone. Others share the same struggles, or oftentimes worse ones, and that the things we're fixated on might really not be that important after all. This outward focus can also bring a deep sense of satisfaction. When we live only for ourselves, there is a hollowness that develops. By holding on to what we know to be true and shining our lights for others to see, we not only enrich our own lives, but make a difference in the world. And this sort of experience always reaps far greater rewards than those done solely for our own gain. When you learn to light another's lantern, you are also illuminating your own path as well. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. So beautiful, so well recited. I've got to tell you that, honestly, we had this prepared. Ani had prepared this a few weeks ago for to coincide with the celebration of Dr. King's birthday, and because of some scheduling issues, we held it up until today. But still, I mean, think about it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter which day you hear it. I mean, the words of Dr. King are so inspirational anytime. So very welcome today as well as any other day. And especially within the confines of what we've been talking about spreading that love and using it for community. We're going to come back in a few minutes. I'm going to let Susie make her announcement right now. We're going to come back in a few minutes and kind of tie everything up and especially share with you some of the direction we're going in and share with you that word. But first, here's Susie.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie. I was amazed. How do we get that piano into the studio? Especially when we've just moved out Ani's harp. Nice transition there, just to let you know that we are cramped in our studio. But you know what? We are always thankful of the blessing that God has given us this opportunity to reach out to people. And of course, your donations are the tangible way that you participate in this ministry. And we welcome those donations. There is a part of the ministry that is very tangible. I mean, you see the microphones, you see the computers, you see the means. There's an intangible way, and that's the measure of how far this message goes out. We get responses from throughout the world. We've got people listening to us right now in Syria, in Europe. We've got people listening to us actually in Egypt, believe it or not, in the middle of all of this turmoil, and especially last week after we spoke about what's going on in Sudan. I mean, the next step is reaching out to places that we can only dream about. And of course, our brothers and sisters in Armenia, here in the United States, on both coasts and throughout the United States. I shared with you a few, I think it was last year, the story of listeners in Indiana who find this is the only way of finding an Armenian church. I mean, we've got so many beautiful stories of faith. People come into faith, and it's all made possible through your donations, through your prayers, through your participation in this ministry. And I don't want to discount it. It is very important. The non-tangible also is, well, because it is a computer ministry, yes, it's the bandwidth. It's the storage spaces. We are all over the internet with sermons, with Next Step podcasts, with the streaming of our Bible studies, and now even picked up on Coptic television. Let me just say that we are thankful and we need your support to continue this in to get the quality that we're getting out of here. So every bit that you give is very much appreciated. As Susie said, go on our website, press on the donate button. You can give and give regularly. We appreciate all of those people who have made the Next Step and Apostle part of their regular giving. In other words, put in an amount and say that once a month you want this to come out of your credit card, and why not? This is the way that we build this ministry. So thank you very much, and God bless everybody who is participating in this. Yes, you've heard about it. We've been talking about it. Yes, here it comes.
the word of the day.
Wow. How did you do that one? Oh, that was a good one. Yes, the word of the day. Got a neat email from a gentleman named Avo, and he was suggesting something. He says that most of Armodoxy, as he was brought up to knowing it, is based on the prayers and based on the teachings of the Church Fathers, which he had read in Armenian. And he said there is something to be said about the language contributing to the entire feel of what Armenian Orthodoxy is about. And I tend to agree with that. There is an issue of language. We've spoken about that in the past. And of course, we do this podcast in English. We do make an opportunity to really get the word out about Armenian Orthodoxy, about Armodoxy. And we use the language, the English language. But there is something to be said about learning the Armenian language to really get into the finer points. So, based on his email, I said, hey, let's give it a shot. Let's come up with a word that each podcast we can think about a word, we can learn a word together and build a vocabulary of Armenian Orthodoxy. And I thought no more appropriate word to start off this series in the next step than the word for peace. Because this last few minutes that I want to share with you, I want to talk about what's going on, what we're doing to bring about that peace. So let's begin with, what is the Armenian word for peace? Interestingly enough, it is so easy said in the English language, and very difficult in the Armenian language. But in that difficulty, I hope you'll find it as a challenge for all of us to strive for peace. The word is Kharagutyun. Now, there are two R sounds, guttural sounds. The first one is Kh, Kharagutyun. The two other sounds are R. I know, you got to listen to it carefully, and it's okay if you mix them up. The important thing is let's try to get the word out together. Kharagutyun. Kharagutyun. I promise you, I'm going to teach you some really cool, easy words too. But this one's a good one because it starts us off to say that peace needs to be challenged. We need to challenge ourselves to find peace. Let's try that word, Kharagutyun. Kharagutyun. It is difficult to say, as is peace is difficult to bring about, because the only way to bring it about is for us to have a transformation in our lives. Today we are struggling with a world that is at war. And I'm not talking just about Afghanistan. I'm not talking about Iraq. I'm not talking about what's going on in Egypt. I'm talking about a general consensus that war is the answer to war. I mean, we just heard a few minutes ago Dr. King saying that darkness is not the answer to darkness. Light is the answer. Same way. To bring about peace, you cannot bring it about by having more war. Or in other words, to eliminate war, you don't cause another war. You need to begin with peace as the premise. That peace is that state that God puts us in. That we need to find that equilibrium. Put together anything you want, any system. All systems seek their equilibrium. This is a math process that both sides of the equation need to be equal. This is a physics reality that all systems will eventually find their equilibrium. Find it with a little pan of water. Place it on a surface. You'll find that it will reach its equilibrium. It will find an equal spot. Same way in life. Our equilibrium is in a peaceful state. Think about the peace that you enjoy during a good night's sleep. That peace is indescribable. Now imagine a world where peace is what is at the heart of our lives. We all live in peace and therefore in harmony. Are we able to achieve that? Yes, we are, but not by war. Not by killing each other, not by slapping each other around, but by saying that we have to be the instruments of God's peace. Kharagutyun. In fact, interestingly enough, in Armenian Orthodoxy, you come to an Armenian church. This is a very interesting point that you'll notice. There is a word that keeps being repeated throughout the liturgies, not just the divine liturgy of Badarak, but throughout all of the liturgies. And that word is Kharagutyun. Now, is it interesting? I mean, isn't it interesting that here's a group of people that have really never known peace? Think about it for a moment. They've had every barbarian, they've had every conqueror really run through this small little patch of land and kill, destroy, desecrate, rape the land and the people. They've never known peace. And yet, throughout their services, they repeat, peace to all. Peace, God's peace. Ha-ha-hu-tun. Maybe in the difficulty of saying it, it's been a challenge to really work for that peace, to live for that peace. And here's our challenge today. Because we are in a world that is filled with war, with destruction. We're seeing it every day unfold in front of our eyes in Egypt. In that unfolding, we are also thinking about our brothers and sisters who are dying in a genocide in Darfur. And interestingly enough, that the world is now focusing on one big tragedy in Africa, let's forget the smaller tragedies, namely Darfur. But we can't do that, because to seek that equilibrium, all systems need to be equal. All systems need to find that equilibrium. And Darfur, as small as it is an issue on the global scale, is a big issue in the sight of God. Just as Armenia, a small group of people, who have been really worthless, who have been expendable to the great powers of the world. In 1915, everybody turned their head as they said, who cares about the Armenians, because today we've got to deal with World War I coming up. Just as during the Nazi Holocaust, people said, who cares about the Holocaust, because we've got a war to deal with. It's called the Great War, the World War II. Same thing with Cambodia. There was a war to distract our attention. There was Vietnam over there. Same thing with Bosnia. Who cares about these people? They're just out there. Or the Rwandans. And today, the genocide continues. It's in a small little area near the Sudan called Darfur, and who cares about them? Well, you know who does? We do. We do because first and foremost, we are Christian. We have a calling by Christ that says we are all his children, that all wars are civil wars. In other words, everybody, whether in Darfur or in Egypt, whether in Iraq or in Iran, whether in Afghanistan or in the United States, are the children of God. We do not have the right to kill other people. Children of God, because when we do, if we're all his children, we're destroying our brothers and sisters. That's by virtue of our faith. Second and foremost, we need to stop this genocide, these killings, because we are human. And in that, I'm saying we need to stop it because it is right to stop it. Because we have a calling of being humanity. Every act of terror, every act of war, every act of non-peace, of non-equilibrium, is an act against our humanity and our dignity. Rise up from that occasion. Do not allow the world. I mean, look at what the world is giving you. It's giving you a giant Super Bowl, where the ads mixed up with the games and danger is the way of life. And we cheer these things. What is the world giving us? It's giving us an actor named Sheen, who is able to destroy his life, and we applaud because he is the funniest person on TV. Look what the world's giving us. They're giving us a Lindsay Lohan, who we have to really think about how we should punish this person, because she's stolen some jewelry. I mean, is there a question? If she was a black man, if she was a white man sitting in the middle of Los Angeles, would there be even a question? But no, the cameras are on these people. That's what the world is telling us. That's what's important. Refuse it. Refuse it. Say that I am a human being, and any act of cruelty, any act of disgrace is an act against my humanity. And in that expression, understand that war is not the answer. That there is only one answer to peace, and that's for us to be in that transformation process. For us to take upon ourselves that role of being human and being Christian and following the message and teaching of Christ, which is one message: love one another. Love and care for one another. Be expressions. As I so loved you, you too love others. And how did I love you? I sacrificed, I gave myself for you. Do that to one another, and they will know that you are my children. Today's word, Chagagutyun, is the word of peace. I look forward to sharing with you different words that come from Armenian Orthodoxy, and we will share one once a week as we take these next steps. Steps that fulfill our ministry as Christians, as Armenians, as Jews, as Chinese, as French, as Italians, as Americans, as people. And we invite you to take those steps with us and to learn with us as we look at the fabric of our lives through the lens of Armenoxy. We come to the end of today's podcast. I want to thank you for joining us. I want to remind you, you could join us between podcasts at inhisshoes.org as well as epostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic Universe, epostle.net. And you'll find all of our activities, all of our work and outreach programs on these two websites. InHisShoes is sponsoring a rally for Darfur. It takes place March 6th in the Los Angeles area at a park location. All disclosed on our website, inhisshoes.org. If you are in the area, please be with us. Please, more than anything else, get the word out. Right now, there is genocide taking place in Darfur. We can do something about it. Instead of commemorating genocides, instead of commemorating wars and activities that have taken place, let's stop a genocide right now. And we can do that. We can do that because the power of God is greater than all of the power combined on this world. And that power of God is translated into the power of love. We wish that power of love in each and every one of your hearts. And thank you so much for joining us. Keep that love going. Remember, today's word, Chagagutyun, we'll look forward to finding new words. I'm always open for suggestions. Please drop us a line about the word as well as anything else at feedback@epostle.net. For the wonderful crew, the older but wiser, Susie, who produces these shows, for Ani and her bubbles, for Ken up in the booth, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.